With me to the book of Mark, the 14th chapter, verses 3 through 9, and I'll be reading those in a moment. Mark, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 3 through verse 9. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Mark 14, 3 through 9. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he, that is Jesus, said at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard, and she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what this woman did will also be spoken of as a memorial to her. May God bless the reading of His Word. What would you say that the Lord expects of you as a believer? Someone who is related to His kingdom, someone who knows Him as Savior. Well, Jesus gave high praise to the woman who anointed Him with that jar of precious perfume. It might not have seemed significant to us, and yet Jesus said it would be a memorial for her through the ages. But what does Jesus expect of us? I tell you what, it's a simple statement. He expects us to do like this woman did, to do what we can. To do what we can. It doesn't seem necessary to commend someone for doing what they can. But I can tell you as a pastor for a long time that that's not always the way people act. They don't always do what they can do. As a matter of fact, perhaps there are, unfortunately, more people who don't do what they should do in the work of the Lord than there are those who do what they should do for the Lord. And so it is necessary, I think, to point out to people that this woman was doing what she could do. She could take that oil. There's a lot of things she couldn't do. She could anoint the head of Jesus to demonstrate to all of those and to Him how much she loved Him, appreciated Him, and honored Him. And so it was an example to us to do what we can do for the Lord Jesus. And I think about why is it that we have to encourage people to do what they should do. Well, I think one of the reasons, of course, is self-centeredness. A lot of people think, well, you know, if I spend so much time doing for others, I'm probably going to neglect my family, and I'm going to neglect myself. And so I need to be sure that I'm doing for myself and my family what I should do. And yet Jesus told us to look out and see others who were in need, understand that their needs needed to be met, and that He had called us to be those who helped Him to meet the needs of people, especially those needs of coming to God and coming to know Him. So often people don't do what they could do. And I think it sometimes is because of self-centeredness. I think it's because of thoughtlessness. Sometimes people just don't say, well, you know, the preacher will do that, the deacons will do that, but you know what God wants us to understand is the work of Christ here on this earth is given to all of us who are believers and not just to a pastor and deacons, but given to all of us. You have a precious message that you deliver. You have a special kind of life following in the example of Christ to live before people so they can know what it means to be a believer. And I think sometimes the cause that people don't do what they could do is a false sense of humility. That is, they mistakenly believe that what they could do is not really important. It's too small. It's too insignificant. But I can tell you some of the people that you might call insignificant or unknown in the church or the one that sits in the back pew or something, I've seen those folks do things that other people didn't know about, and yet they touched lives in such a way that it made, it exemplified to them what a Christian is, what a believer should do, and what they should become. And so, yes, it is significant. And we don't need a false sense of humility. To do what we can do is not being a person who is proud and prideful, but it's rather, it is understanding that Jesus calls us, as he called that woman, to do what we can do, to be that person that reaches out and touches people. We may not be the best preacher in the world, but we are to preach. I remember the pastor that influenced my life as I was growing up, Brother Charlie Wayne Thompson. He was a good preacher and he was a good man, but he was a man that was even more important. He influenced my life. I think he helped God use him to call me to the ministry, because he was a loving pastor and he was a man that made me realize what an honor it would be for God to call me to be in the ministry. I think about a little lady in the church that I grew up in that was worked with a senior adult. I mean, not with the senior adults, but she worked with a young adults. She worked with the boys and girls who were in high school and in early stages of college. And Miss Rose was a little bitty lady, a little red-haired lady, and she didn't have a good speaking voice. She was not a great speaker, but I want you to know that she loved us young people, and she was faithful to us, and she planned things for us, and she made an imprint upon our lives. I can't think of anyone else, as I think back about the First Baptist Church of Aberdeen, who did more to influence our lives as young people than Miss Rose Harrington, that little bitty lady with that rare red hair, who was always there to help us and to plan for us to do things. I think about another man in that church. His name was I. Bright Sr. He had a son, I. Bright Jr. His son became a minister and pastored out in California. But Mr. I. Bright, when I was growing up, my parents didn't go to church. And so my mother couldn't drive at that time in her life. And he would come by our house in the little town of Aberdeen, and he'd pick me up and carry me to church. And then my father got a store outside, a country store outside of Aberdeen. And Mr. Ira would drive all the way out there and pick me up, bring me into Sunday school and church, and then take me back home. And here's the thing about it. I was a boy, you know, and I didn't think about it, but sometimes my father, who would have his store open on Sundays until noontime, we were going to be going to my grandmother's, and so I didn't go. He'd come all the way out there, and I'd say, I can't go today because I'm going to my grandmother's. But he didn't get mad. He came back the next Sunday. But if I had been thoughtful, I would have called him and said, don't come today, but I didn't think about that. But he kept on coming and kept on being a part of my life, helping me to be implanted in that church and become, to be saved eventually, and then be called to preach. And a lot of it has to do with Mr. I. Bright Sr., who was willing to spend time for a little boy to go out and get him and get him in church. I think about another man that influenced me when I was in the seminary. He was a member, he was from Mississippi, but he lived down in New Orleans, Mr. Fred House. Rebecca can tell you how much this man did for us and touched our lives in such a way that he helped us. I know that there would be times when we needed money, and here he was to give us the money. And when we finally graduated from the seminary, he came to me and he said, Billy, just forget about the money I loaned you. It's settled, it's taken care of. He didn't require that I pay him back. And I can tell you, all through life, there have been people like that that have touched my life. And you know what, I look out and I see those of you that are out here, and I can think, you know, now there's people who have touched the lives of others. There may be some young adult, there may be some young person who has a special place in their heart for you because you have been the one that gave them guidance. You've been the one that encouraged them. You've been the one that has given them advice. You've been the one that has influenced their life. And so praise God for those who are willing to see, you know, what I can do may not be much, but all God asks of me is to do what I can do. Have you ever thought about that, what you can do? Well, you know what you should be doing in God's work, whether it's here in the church or outside in the community? You ought to be doing what you can do, and that's what God expects of you. And here's the thing about it. When you do what you can do, you know what God does? He blesses that. You know, he took a boy's little fishes that little boy gave him and little bread, and he broke that, and he fed a multitude of people with those little fishes, because that's what Jesus can do. And you'll be surprised what he can do with what you can do. What you might think to be some small thing, some taking someone somewhere or picking up a child and bringing them to church, how it can influence their life and influence the kingdom of God, bringing them in and maybe even others because you were a person who was willing to do what God wanted you to do. I think about the parable of the stewards and the talents. And those people, those stewards were awarded according to their abilities. But then the reward came as they used those abilities. They were awarded according to their faithfulness to using what they had. And so whether you have little or much as far as ability, if you have little or much as far as opportunities, if you're faithful in it, God will use that. He'll bless that. It'll be used and the results will be multiplied. And not only for you, but for those people that you touch, but also for your own life. So many times, people don't do what they can do. You ask, why do people not do what they can do? God's not asking them to do what they can't do. God's asking them to do simply what they can do, their abilities. Well, I think that sometimes people are depending on false circumstances. They'll say things like this. Well, preacher, when I have more time, I'll do more. Or, preacher, you know, I don't make a lot of money, and when I get more money, I'll be able to tithe. Or, preacher, if I have a different position, a different job, I can do more than I'm doing now. The truth is if you're not faithful with where you are now, what you have now, and what opportunities you have now, you won't be faithful even if they're multiplied. You just be faithful. Do what God wants you to do now with what you have, with the opportunities you have, with the resources you have. And you know what God will do? He'll bless that. And he'll not only multiply the results of it, but he'll bless you and others through what you do. I think in my life that I've been blessed by more by the one talent person than those multi-talented people. I mean, the people I've known through my life have not been people with great abilities to teach or great abilities to sing or do things in the church. They have been the men like Mr. Fred House, a man that was in the little mission church that I pastored down in New Orleans, who would go visiting with me, who would go to the hospitals with me, who would, as Rebecca knows, he would share with us from his own billfold, so to speak. He would give us to help us. He knew a seminary student was struggling. He did so much for me, and that little mission that we were in was reaching people. And it wasn't because of the pastor, but it was because of those who undergirded me as the pastor, that little mission church. And that was one of the men, Fred House, who did just that. And you know what? You've got some, not Fred Houses, that's not your name, but there are men in this church that undergird, men in this church that lift up, men in this church that reach out to touch the minister of this church and the other Sunday school teachers and help them to be the persons God wants them to be. And so don't wait on when you have more time or you have more resources or you have more opportunities or you have a different position. You just do what God wants you to do now. You take that Sunday school class, or maybe you can be a person in the Sunday school class that helps to reach out to the people in the Sunday school class. You may not be the teacher, but you can be a group leader. You can do other things to help this church be the church God wants it to be. This is a good church, and I tell you, it was always one that blessed Rebecca and I. And I thank God for it. And I know that there are people in this church that care. And not just the men, the ladies. I tell you, this church is strong with the women of this church. They have people who women who love the Lord and they love their church and they love people. And I believe God has a great future yet in the future. I don't know that this church will ever be a great metropolitan church or be filled, every pew filled, but you can be an impact in this community that'll make a difference. And I think this church has been for the years that it's been here. I think you've touched lives, and you've touched the lives of people and made a difference in those lives. And so thank God for that. And sometimes, as I said, that people don't always take the responsibilities that they should. And I think it has to do sometimes with a false sense of humility. They think that what they do is not very meaningful, not very important, or not enough, that it's not enough that God would want them to do things. But I want you to know that God took a little boy's lunch, and he fed a great multitude of people because a little boy gave up his lunch. And he took the widow's mite, and we have learned great things from knowing the teachings of that little story about the widow's mite. And God can take you and use you in a way that would indeed be able to reach people for Christ. And don't let false humility, the thought, an idea that you're just not important enough to be used, or what you can do is not important enough to reach people, because it is those faithful Christians in a church that helps the church to become the body of Christ, the hands of Christ. See, you're the hands of Christ. He's not here in our world, but his presence is here, and it's in you, the church. And you become his hands to reach out and help to lift up the broken. You become his eyes to look out and see those who are in need. You become his ears to hear the cries for help. You become his mouth to speak the words of hope and peace and joy and salvation to the lost. You are the persons that God expects to use. And don't allow a false sense of this thing of feeling that you're not important enough, or not smart enough, or not talented enough. And so we need to understand God wants us to use our talents. And we don't do it to please others. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's not the base motivation. We don't do it because of a sense of duty. I got to do this. This is my job. We ought to do it because we love other people and we love the Lord and he wants us to. And why should we obey the Lord's command to reach out and share here in Lexington about Jesus and touch lives and help people to lift them up? Because, first of all, it's the command of our Lord. He wants us to make a difference in people's lives. He wants us to interject ourselves and help someone get off of the floor of life, so to speak, and stand up on their feet, on their spiritual feet. And because of the need of people, look around in your community and you'll see so many people that are in need, people who are lost. And when I say lost, I'm talking about spiritually lost. I'm talking about who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's people all around here that don't know Christ. And here's the thing about it. You know, I know that when I was your pastor for a while here as an interim pastor, that probably I didn't share the good news of Jesus as I should have. I maybe didn't go down to the corner store and meet the people there, or down on the streets and tell folks about Christ. But all around you, you rub shoulders with people. You live next to people who don't know Jesus as their Savior, or who may be a member of a church, but they're not involved in it. They don't go to it. And so therefore, they're denying the body of Christ because they're not giving themselves to it. And you could be that one, that catalyst in their life that helps them to see, I have something to do. God expects something of me. And there's a need out there. And when we respond, you know what happens? People are changed and they are helped. I can tell you about, as I think back over ministries, about folks in a church who really got on fire about sharing with people about Jesus, about reaching out and touching lives and helping people through the difficult times. It revived a church. It revived a community because people were helped. And not only that, but people are saved because the church gets on fire. Because they know there is but one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. If there's anything that we should be doing, it is sharing the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are about us. And let me tell you what happens. The church is strengthened and the kingdom of God is advanced. When we begin to be serious about being a believer, sharing our faith, sharing with others, telling about the Lord Jesus Christ, we make a difference. The church is strengthened. The kingdom is advanced. But here's the most important thing, and that is that Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the Son of God, is glorified. He is lifted up, and He has His rightful place in the hearts of men. He has His rightful place in the heart of the church and in the community in which that church exists, because we begin to recognize that He's not just a figure in the Bible, but that He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the one who has come to seeking to save and to bring all mankind into the kingdom of God, to be the children of God and join heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as a church, I call out to you to be what God wants you to be a catalyst, to be the bread of life, to be the water for which, the living water for which people thirst, to be the light in a darkened world, to be the light giver, the life changer, the person that is able to share Jesus Christ and bring folks into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater, you know. I can tell you, as I've lived these 50 years, oh, wait a minute, there's a few more years than that. I'm sorry, I forgot about that. Maybe I should say 80 years. But I've lived 80 years. Let me tell you what. It becomes clearer and dearer to me that there is nothing greater than being a child of God. There's nothing greater than knowing your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's nothing more important than knowing that you can say, the Lord Jesus is my Savior. There's nothing more important than that. And we ought to be sharing it with the community. Look, Jesus saves. And I want you to know, without Him, there is no real life. Without Him, there is no hope. And it's not the church, it's not the Baptist church, it is Jesus that is the Savior. And I want you to know Him, come to trust Him as I do, come to know the saving power, the healing influence of the Son of God in your life. And so as a church, I would like to encourage you to do like this woman did. She did what she could. And that's what Jesus is asking us. He's not asking you to do what your pastor can do or what I can do or some of the deacons can do. He's just asking you to do what you can do in sharing Jesus to a community, people that need Him, and people that are, many of them, lost and without Him, come to know Him and come to know the life-giving salvation that He brings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for letting us be a part of Your kingdom, that we might know Jesus and His saving grace, and that not only may we know the Lord as our Savior, but Lord, we also become an advocate for Him. Someone who is called to share the good news that Jesus saves with all of us, with all who are about us. And I pray that, Father, this church, which has always been a church that makes a difference, will continue to do that in this community. And the difference is that they will be preaching Jesus. They'll be preaching Christ lifted up, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And they, Father, will be living that life that others can see. I pray for the pastor of this church that Your healing hand will continue to rest on him. I thank You for him and his leadership, his commitment, and the love that the church has for him. And I pray that You will soon bring him back to his pulpit to be able to preach the word and be able to pastor his people. And thank you again for giving me this opportunity to be a spokesman for you, as I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, we're going to sing.